You're listening to the Free Your Mind Projects radio show on air and online at freeyourmindprojects.com. And here comes our Proposition 63 Mental Health Services Action segment with Jennifer Whitney. Hey, Jen, what have you got for us this week?
Thanks, Brian, and welcome to the Mental Health Services Action segment. I'm Jennifer Whitney, coming to you from the California State Capitol of Sacramento. We're talking about Proposition 63 because we are sponsored by Proposition 63. If you don't know about it, Prop 63 was something that voters voted in 2004, and it's been in effect since 2005. What it is a 1% tax on incomes over $1 million. So it's a millionaire's tax. And that money goes to fund public mental health programs throughout the state of California. One of the things that Prop 63 also does is it works to eliminate stigma and discrimination by raising awareness and educating people about mental health and mental illness. Many, many programs are in place in the state, over 1,500 programs in California because of Prop 63. And one of them that is funded by Prop 63 is something called Art with Impact. And it goes into campuses all across this state. It shows short films, short student-produced films on mental health. And when I say short, they are short. They're about 1 to 3 minutes long. And then we have discussions about each film, about what the feelings and thoughts that were elicited during watching the film. And it brings together students of all walks of life, those who are very much aware of mental health and mental illness, and those who really don't know anything about it and are learning about it. And so it's always a pretty impactful thing that most people walk away from with a different attitude toward, and certainly a heightened awareness of, mental health and mental illness. At one of the recent events that we did down in San Luis Obispo at the Cuesta Community College campus, we met someone who had just an incredible story that really resonated with our audience, which consisted of students and staff and people from the community who had just come in. And her name is Erin. And Erin, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. You are so welcome.
So, Erin, the reason that I thought your story was so amazing is because one of the things that Prop 63 does, which has been different about mental health, is that it really works in the recovery model so that it gives strength and hope to people who do have a mental illness and have to live with the challenges of having a mental illness. And so when you talked about your story and I saw how far you've come, I was just so impressed. So tell us a little bit about your story. Where did you begin? What happened?
Where did it begin? That's a very good question. I do remember being depressed as far back as 7 years old and hoping that someone, I was on the playground at a little school here in San Francisco County, and I was hoping that someone would walk up and just ask me how I'm doing, hoping that someone would notice, and no one did. And that was one of my first realizations that I just need to put the mask on and wear it well, that I was okay and that I could pull this off. And then a pretty tragic divorce happened when I was in fourth grade, and many things happened in my childhood with from a dysfunctional family. The divorce was pretty significant, and then learning some family history was also pretty significant. And then when I was in high school, actually I should say in sixth grade going into seventh grade, it was pretty tragic for me because we went from a very small school all of a sudden to 1,200 kids, which sounds small for larger school districts, but for our area, that's a pretty significant jump. And I remember being very depressed then, just transitioning for that. And then in high school, still very depressed, I started cutting to release and escape all of that emotion. At the time, I didn't realize that that's what it was, but I still wore the mask that everything was great. I was always the one running around, making sure everyone was okay. I was the caretaker. And then when I was 17, I decided to get out of the dysfunction of my household. And my parents, again, are divorced, and I couldn't go live with the other parent due to some reasons. And I chose to put myself in the runaway shelter in San Luis Obispo County. And I was there for 6 months, which was very different because normally you're only there for 30 days. And I had such amazing people rooting for me. I didn't realize at the time that were waiting for a foster home to open up in the town that I was from so I can graduate with my twin sister. And I ended up going to 3 different foster homes, and I did not graduate. It was heartbreaking to be at that graduation and watch my classmates and her graduate without me. Then very depressed. Again, when I was in the runaway shelter, I was able to get into San Luis County Behavioral Mental Health Program and started counseling. So that's when my initial counseling started. I was did that for about a year. Then I moved out on my own. I fell in love in a relationship. I ended up getting married at 23. We were together for a very long time. Looking back now, it was very dysfunctional. I didn't feel like anyone could love me like the way he could. My own insecurities, of course. Then, how do I say this? We divorced when I was in my 30s, and it felt like a death. It was very tragic, and I was living out of state, and I stayed there for about a year. And then I decided I couldn't differentiate between being his wife and his best friend because we stayed close afterwards. And I moved back to California, to San Luis Obispo County, and I started therapy. And I got back into therapy at San Luis County Behavioral Health, and I was diagnosed properly. And that probably saved my life.
And when you say diagnosed properly, what was your diagnosis?
I was diagnosed back when I was 18. They were saying it was bipolar, and I can't remember what type. It was type 1 or 2. So when I came back, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, and it was a very scary event for me. I was handed a book, and I remember taking it, going to the beach, reading it, and one moment crying because it seemed so scary, but the next moment smiling for relief because it was finally something I related to. It was not just my thoughts and my head. It was amazing. And I was told it would be a very long road. It's normally 5 to 7 years, I believe, to overcome or to learn how to manage borderline personality disorder. I also have post-traumatic stress disorder. I have anxiety disorder. I have recently been diagnosed with a learning disability, interestingly enough. I do have ADHD, OCD, all symptoms mostly from childhood, which are things I had learned as a child that worked for me then, and though in my adult years it doesn't work very well. And so going into therapy, the therapist I was lucky enough to have was up for the challenge. And he worked with me for, I believe it's been 7 years, and I did an amazing there were two different programs, and it was that is designed specifically on borderline personality disorder. And borderline personality disorder is also known as emotional intensity disorder because borderline sounds so scary. When I say emotional, people seem to relate to it more, and they don't think of like someone with split personalities because that's definitely not what's going on. My behaviors is I've definitely been very, I've had a really long relationship about being self-destructive. My self-worth has always been a good challenge for me. I'm very confident intellectually, and then on a deep personal level, though, I think I still struggle with that self-worth piece. It's come such an amazing long way, though, that I would have never guessed that where I'm at now is where I would have been. Like, how do I say this? So 7 years ago, where I was compared to now is just night and day by all means. When I started getting into the deep portion of the therapy, it was hard. It was really hard to look at these intense, painful emotions and memories, and I wouldn't know how to sit with it, so I would hurt myself because I didn't know how to verbalize or communicate to others of what I was thinking or feeling.
And the pain was just so intense.
Absolutely, and that was a way to distract from the pain I didn't want to feel. I also suffered from eating disorder in there as well, and that was another way to escape. I was married for my 14 years before my divorce, I became a shopaholic. And during all those years, I was managing successful retail stores and doing well, though I didn't realize at the time that even that was affecting my work, my borderline personality, the way I was always kind and compassionate for a little while. And then if someone did the same mistake again, then I would lash out at them and then beat myself up for lashing out at them.
I want to pause you just for a second because we have to take a quick break, but we're going to come back. I'm talking with Erin Smith, someone who knows about recovery firsthand. We're going to hear more about her story. I'm Jennifer Whitney. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Mental Health Services Action segment. I'm Jennifer Whitney. We're talking with Erin Smith. Erin's talking about her recovery from borderline personality and also just the fact that of the many diagnoses she has received, the many challenges that she's faced, she is managing to learn learn how to live with all of it and not just live but thrive. So, Erin, you're telling us about your story, and you've gone back to when you were in fourth grade. Tell me what happened in 2008 that was so pivotal for you.
2008 was really significant for me because I was in the deep section of my therapy, and so I was pulling up the dark stuff. And then on top of that, I had four significant deaths in my house. And when I divorced, I took all the animals with me, and I had three of them. And each one of them were at 14 years old, and they died. And it was all 2 months apart from each other. Mm. And then the last death of the animal, which was my dog, was tremendously heartbreaking. And my family was very worried about me. They kept thinking, oh, God, this is it. Erin's going to kill herself, try and kill herself again. Because I've had some pretty significant attempts. And one, I should not have survived. And I was found in my car a couple of days later. And here I am. And then after that, my ex-husband, who we did stay best friends, he passed away as well. And he was young. And it was a natural birth defect that was never found. And then when that happened, I really, really went downhill. The one good thing is that it all happened when it was supposed to, because even though I was in the thick of my therapy, I did have enough tools and support system to be put in place. It was humbling. I did decide to go into a 30-day treatment program. At that time, it was for my eating disorder down in Southern California. And it was great because it reinforced the tools I already had. And a lot of that was mindfulness, staying in the moment, realizing that just because I feel this way right now does not mean it's going to stay that way, trying to find a positive in every negative, recognizing that every single thing that that I experience is now a learning experience. I now manage all of these diagnoses. I still have my tough days, don't get me wrong, though I now recognize that I am the one with all the support that is in control. And I think what started changing for me as well is when I got into school. I'm now in school for psychology, and I'm fascinated with it. It was a doctor who encouraged me on that. He said, what are you doing? You have all of this knowledge and experience that psych techs can't read in books. I mean, they can read it, but they don't know the empathy that goes along with it. And it really woke me up, and it was day 46 or something sitting in the hospital, and I was like, they're right. And so being in school and getting that taste of integrity that I'm doing something for me instead of wallowing and being so lost and so confused really started helping. And then communicating with my instructors that this is what I struggle with has really helped. Also being very honest with everyone, down to Facebook, just saying, this is me. I'm still Erin, the same bubbly person you guys all know. So this is what I deal with. And when I started doing that, it was so amazing to have so many people step forward and go, me too. Hmm. And I'm going to get choked up. It's so, like, humbling to know that that can make such a difference. So now I am part of Active Minds, a national organization. I'm president of the Cuesta College chapter, and I love guest speaking. I am now done with therapy with my therapist. I check in as needed, and I'm now guest speaking for him as well. And I did just recently start some EMDR therapy, and that is for some of my post-traumatic stress disorder. So it's just been a very, very humbling, exciting adventure overall. I wouldn't change anything. That's the interesting thing. I should say I did go back and get my GED right before I started back to college, and that was huge as well because I always talked about wanting to do these things, and I never thought I could. And now here we are.
It is amazing because with everything that you have been dealing with, to be able to go back and get your GED, and now you're in college, and what are you seeing in your future? What are you hoping to do?
Well, I am, I should say I'm engaged. That's on my personal level. I'm in a very healthy relationship. I've ironically taught him how to communicate, which has been great. Amazing. I never thought I could do that. As far as school, I would love to graduate from Cuesta College, and then I would love to go to Antioch in Santa Barbara, which specializes in psychology. When I look at their courses, they truly speak to me, and it's a little expensive, and it's a private school, so I will cross that bridge when I get there. So then I would love to have my own private practice, or honestly, I have such an open mind, whatever direction it takes me in that I know I get to assist others, that's where my heart will go. If I could become a guest speaker somehow, that would be fabulous. my door is open at this point. And I know tomorrow I have to get up and I still have homework and I have a test. And so my main focus is being in the now right now.
Right. But the possibilities are endless. I mean, I just think that goodness. Is just phenomenal. And I just have to ask you, your twin sister, did she experience any of the same things you did?
Not then. I was the deep thinker. I was always the, you know, the look on my face was I'm a thinker, 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 thinker. She was a little bit more simplified. She just kind of rolled with things. And so now recently in the last couple of years, she has experienced some pretty severe anxiety disorder and panic attacks. And I've been able to assist her in that. And that was another thing, like she said, maybe Erin, you were supposed to go through all of this stuff to assist me. She said, I never understood it. She said, I tried to understand and I never did. And I was thankful that she didn't understand it to a certain level, because then it means that she would have to have gone through all the painful events. And I was definitely more sensitive growing up than she was. So, you know, I think we have other siblings as well. We all have our stuff, though. It's been amazing. It's just been absolutely amazing.
And I think it's interesting because, you know, you take a family, and even with a twin, everyone's experience is different.
Yeah.
I just find that fascinating. And I have to agree how wonderful it was that you, unfortunately, though you had to go through many a challenge and a struggle to get there, you were able then to help your sister, which is amazing too. All right, before we go, what would you like to say to folks who are out there who possibly may or may not be struggling with something like this, or they're not sure? What would you want to say to them?
It's safe to talk. You know, there are so many positive resources out there, and it is a struggle in certain moments, though it is so absolutely worth it. It's very worth it. Put the time in, and most of all, be kind to yourself in this process. Self-compassion is one thing that we are not used to as human beings, and that has made a tremendous difference in my journey. So there is hope, and I used to be the one that says, yeah, but you don't know. You don't know my story. You're not talking to me. And I am now one of those people, and it seems almost cliche, though, if you have any ounce of inner excitement or belief, or you know that you can do this, listen to that intuition. Even in those down, darkest, darkest moments, there is still something worth being here for.
Erin Smith, thank you so much for joining me today. I know that your story and your words are going to inspire others, and I just am so grateful that you are here to tell us that story, and best of luck to you in the future.